great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you and your wallet. I want you to learn ideas from me so that you can save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Speaking of rip-offs, I'm going to talk to you about what happens at the car dealer after you think you've already made your deal that can really empty your wallet. It's coming up in today's Clark Rage in just a few minutes. And then later yet, I want to talk about a real breakthrough in how things are designed and manufactured. It's going to make life safer for us and more affordable. And speaking of more affordable, something I've talked about for years that has been so controversial, every time I talk about it, we get posts on Clark Stinks from doctors and dentists who are very upset about me getting into an area they feel is reckless for me to talk about. But I just gotta, because for many people who need particularly expensive dental work, they go without and suffer the pain and potential overall medical problems from not being able to address dental issues. And so what's known as dental tourism has gotten to be a massive business. Best known country for this from the United States is Costa Rica. But a lot of Americans go to Hungary for dental work. And there's more and more opportunities for you to go to kind of like blends between dental bookers and travel agencies that book you for dental work overseas. There's a website called dentaldepartures.com that is one I've talked about before, that you put what it is you're looking to do, who you can go see, and what it's going to cost compared to, well, not even compared to what you'd pay here, just what it would cost. And I saw a story in the Financial Times that this has gotten to be such a big business in Poland, where people come for dentistry, that 80% of the people going to dentists there are foreigners going for first quality dental care, and they go for a much lower cost. Now, me saying first quality, that's where I get the beefs from the dentists here in the U.S. saying, wait, how do you know it's first quality? And the answer is, I don't. I'm not a medical professional, far from it. But I can tell you that, as you know, as a medical professional, people who have a serious dental issue untreated leads to additional and potentially deadly health problems. And so if it's not affordable here, and it means going without, maybe the right answer is for somebody to look overseas. The same thing has come up with medical. And gosh, I want to make people unhappy in medicine. I've done it in the past, talking about people going to Singapore or India or Thailand for various medical procedures, heart surgeries, and the rest. But you go to a facility where you have a 24-hour nurse with you in your room, not pressing a buzzer hoping someone will show up, because, you know, the hospitals, the nurses are so overworked and understaffed in our country. And you go to these hospitals that are specifically set up for people from the United States and Western Europe. They're magnificent facilities, and the various care you'd be going for is potentially so much cheaper. One of the websites I've referred people to before, patientsbeyondborders.com. Again, patientsbeyondborders.com. And just a thought for you, I will reiterate, I am clueless whether or not the care is truly equal. I'm not qualified to speak on that. Debbie's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, Clark.
How are you doing, Debbie?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
How can I serve you?
So my question is, it's open enrollment season for health insurance at work, and the question just came to mind, and I thought I'd ask, is it a good idea to buy life insurance at work?
Only if you would be uninsurable to buy life insurance on your own.
Which I'm not.
So you're in good health and all that.
Okay.
Are you?
So why doesn't it make sense to buy it at work?
Okay, because at work, they don't require that you go through a medical screening. They
Correct.
Just issue you the policy. So in order to cover people who are not in the good health you are and good shape you are, the premiums you pay are higher than they'd be on your own. Anytime you're in good enough health that you can buy on your own, you want to buy on your own.
Okay.
And, you know, the insurance from your employer is 1 year at a time. But you on your own, while you're healthy, you can buy a policy that'll last 10, 15, 20, 30 years and give you a guaranteed premium for that whole time period. What's known as level term insurance.
Okay.
And do you know, Debbie, now you can get quotes on level term from a handful of companies where you don't even have to go through the thing with the nurse coming to visit you and taking blood samples and all that. They use these algorithms to decide if they'll medically underwrite you, and they'll tell you in minutes whether or not they'll insure you.
And what company was that again?
I've got several. Let me think. There's Haven Life. Does Policy Genius do that? I'm trying to remember the ones that do it with no exam. But I've got on my life insurance guide, I've got who the ones are that will do it without an exam, and you find out immediately if you're insurable. This was started by a company called Haven Life, but now has gone to a number of others as well.
Okay.
But buying on your own is vastly preferable, and your employer, I assume, sells you or gives you one times your annual income.
Correct.
And that's not enough insurance.
Okay.
In order to provide for your survivors.
Yeah, I think there's the option of two times, one or two times your base.
And that's not enough.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to stun you how much you want to look at buying. Ready?
Yeah.
10 times your annual income.
Wow.
Let me tell you why 10, because it's not about your survivors being taken care of for 1 year. It's about your survivors being taken care of for a number of years.
A number of years.
And that's why what's offered at work at one or two times coverage is not enough. And I was right that Policy Genius also does the no medical exam life insurance in addition to Haven Life. But there's a third one. I just can't remember their name right now.
Okay.
So go shop. And, you know, if you have a policy they'll issue you immediately, you'll know, oh, I'm okay. They're going to underwrite me. I buy my own. And if you get rejected, then you know, well, before open enrollment ends, I should take the insurance I can get from my employer. Walt is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Walt.
Yes, good morning.
How you doing?
We're doing fine, thank you.
So you want to talk to me about saving money on hearing?
Yes. What's the best, most reasonably priced hearing aid on the market for someone with pronounced hearing loss?
Well, I've got great news for you. There is one I've talked about for a while that is far, far cheaper than what people have historically paid. and it's called the iHear device.
iHear device?
The iHear, and the website you can learn about it is iHearMedical.com.
iHearMedical.com.
And theirs is $399 for the hearing aid, which is extremely cheap compared to what we're used to paying for hearing aids in the U.S.
That is a major brand manufacturer.
It's a real deal. You do what's wild is you pay $69 for a FDA-approved hearing test that is like one that would be done at a professional facility, and you do it right in your own home. And the FDA has certified it as being great. And then if you buy the $399 hearing aid, they waive the cost for that test that you would normally pay $69 for.
I see.
Now, let me tell you the even better news. The Congress passed a new law on hearing devices, and over the next several months, you're going to see the cost of hearing devices go down, down, down. But, you know, because people routinely now pay $4,000 or more for a pair of hearing aids.
Right.
And we're the only country that people pay that kind of money. So we're going to become more like the rest of the world, but it's going to be phased in over time. But if you want to get to the lower prices right now, the iHear medical device is the one that I'm aware of that's already at prices more like the rest of the world.
Now, they talk about having a different channels or areas of hearing that you can adjust, that the audiologist adjusts on the hearing aid.
Exactly.
Up to about 24.
Right. So the device that iHear Medical sells is the same technology. Well, it won't be the same technology, but the same thoroughness that you get with a traditional professional hearing aid. Now, there's another category.
Do all the adjusting and so forth online.
Right. Yeah. And so check it out. And I think you'll be comfortable giving it a try. You can try it in one ear. And if you're like, this is the worst idea ever, I don't know what Clark was thinking, I've wasted $400. But if it works for you, then you've found a way to save thousands that you would have paid otherwise. Now, just so you know, based on what the Congress passed, we're going to have a bunch of what are known as PSAPs in the United States, which is a personal sound amplification products, I think is what PSAP stands for. And these are more rudimentary hearing devices that are not to the sophistication you and I are talking about with a hearing aid, but they're going to be even substantially cheaper than the $399 you pay to iHear Medical. No doubt I love for people in business to sell you something you want to buy, a service or product, and serve a need in the market and make a profit on what they do. But there are times that the profit becomes taking advantage, not earning a living. And that's why it's today's Clark Rageous Moment.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clark Rageous Moment.
So you go to buy a car, and you negotiate a deal online or through a buying service or whatever, and you get at the dealership and you're in with the F&I man. Could be a woman, but they just call him F&I man, finance and insurance person. And that's where the great damage to your wallet can occur if you don't know how the game is played. The Detroit Free Press wrote an investigative story about people paying 1,000% markups on add-ons that are sold to you by the F&I man. And again, remember, that could be a woman too. The most common is window etching, where they put the VIN number etched in the glass of the window. Costs a dealer almost nothing. Those are sold for as much as, believe it or not, $5,000. More typically, $179 to $350 for window etching. And that's just one example of what's known as a pack. A pack is a made-up charge to pad the dealer's profits. Again, there's nothing wrong with making a profit, but when you take advantage of people after they think they've already negotiated a deal and run the price up, that is Clarkrageous. And that is just one example of a pack. Be very aware when they try to charge you for some kind of paint coating or undercoating or who knows what coating. That is another example of a pack. I'm also asked about extended warranties on a vehicle. Those are not a pack, but you got to be very careful buying those. And I urge great caution before you buy one. And remember, buy only the manufacturer's own extension of a warranty that you're getting on a vehicle you're buying, if you get that at all. It's my pleasure to have you with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website. Clark.com/ask, where you go to post a question for me. You also can ask a question of a member of Team Clark. That's a free service of our show. On Clark.com, scroll down a little. You'll see the number and hours available for free off-the-air advice. So, better, cheaper, faster. Those three words seldom actually fit together, right? So you're told you get what you pay for when you buy something cheap. You rush something, usually you lower the quality. And it's hard to do better, faster, cheaper. But one of the things that's so amazing about us as human beings is how life continually improves because of all the brainiacs among us. And one of the areas where this is happening is with 3D printing, which is one of the dumbest names for what it is ever. Let's call it 3D manufacturing or fabrication. All right, this is wild. Read this story in The Guardian, a British newspaper. The Dutch have figured out how to make bridges, and who has more bridges in their country than the Dutch, being below sea level out of the country? They have figured out how to make bridges using 3D printing technology. And they've actually installed one already. They're working on another one right now. And they do exactly that. Better, cheaper, faster. They're able to make a bridge in a fraction of the time it would normally take. The bridge can structurally be much stronger than a bridge built the conventional way. And they're done in a blink of an eye, where the concrete is done absolutely to exact standards. And it's just so neat that what we have coming, and by the way, we're in a big race, not just with the Europeans, to deploy more and more 3D fabrication, but with the Chinese in particular that are all into this. But so many things we do today are going to be done by, and I hate the term 3D printing, they're going to be done by these fabrication machines that make with absolute precision incredible durable parts made of all different kinds of material. They're going to make air travel safer and more reliable. Think about when a plane has a mechanical away from an airline's base. and the spare parts may not be available that the plane needs to fix whatever the mechanical problem is where the plane is. And they got to wait for a part to be flown in. Your travel's ruined. Now, it's possible to make a replacement for a broken airline part right on location with a 3D fabrication device and put it on the plane. In automobile manufacturing, 3D printing can make a more precise part than can many times be made on an assembly line. And there are so many phases of things we do now where fabrication machines, based on the concept of 3D printing, are going to be able to make things, those three things together, remember how rare they are, faster, cheaper, better. Leo is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Leo.
Hi, Howard. It's a great pleasure to talk to you.
Well, great to have you here. And you are a landlord, is that right?
No, actually, I assisted some friends to buy houses in Orlando.
Oh, okay.
They like my service. I work with taxes and money remittances, and they trust a lot on my services. And they said, after we buy the houses, we want you to manage those houses. And I thought it would be easy, but after I saw there is more than dozen of houses, I took it really serious because I'm charging a fee. So after I made more than $600, I thought that would be a business. And I started thinking to make it serious, have a website, have a proper a manager system and pay the taxes, everything, like set up a kind of a proper managed business.
Wow.
And because I think it's a big responsibility, we already moved in some tenants, and I read about the tenants insurance and the renters insurance actually, and I thought it would be a great idea to have all the tenants like a requirement to them to own renters insurance.
Yeah,
the renter insurance.
So Leo, you're right, and a lot of the big apartment management companies now require that their tenants have renter's insurance and either supply proof that they own a renter's insurance policy or that they have to buy it from the apartment management company. If you're managing, you said, 12 properties?
Going to be a little bit more than that.
Oh, okay. So for you to be in the business of selling renter's insurance, I don't know how easy that would be for you. But I think in your leases requiring that tenants buy and maintain a renter's insurance policy is a smart move on your part. Because tenants think anything that goes wrong at the place, you're responsible for. And that's not how it works. You know, if the tenant stuff gets stolen or there's a fire or the stuff gets damaged by, you know, a busted pipe or whatever with water damage, that's all on the tenant, not on you as the landlord or management company.
Yes, and we thought about like requiring proof that they have this insurance, or we're going to be able to connect them with our insurance company that they can buy it.
I think that you, at this point, I don't think you want to get involved and saying, go see this person and buy the policy. But tell them that whoever they get their automobile insurance from can direct them to someone to buy renter's insurance. Most automobile insurers also do homeowner's insurance. And in addition to that, they would almost certainly have renter's insurance they sell or someone they could refer a potential tenant to. And the insurance is cheap. I mean, you're going to figure typically somewhere about $10 to $17 a month. And it provides such important protection for your tenants.
Yes, that's what I saw, and that's what makes me interested in buying this insurance.
Yeah, I think it's really, really great. And as you develop a larger and larger portfolio, I guess the time will come where you could be in the business of requiring people to buy policies from you if they haven't supplied their own. But I always think in business, you crawl before you walk and walk before you run. So I would start with just requiring people to provide proof that they had purchased renter's insurance. And remember, it's for their benefit, not yours. And then as you get larger, then maybe you do start offering it as a default choice if people don't supply their own. And continued success to you as a property manager. Tony's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how you doing, Clark?
Great. Thank you, Tony. How can I be of service?
Well, I got a question for you, as most of your callers do. We're looking to buy a new home sometime between now and, say, April or somewhere after that. And we froze our credit many years ago. We unfroze it a couple years ago to buy a car. But with the Equifax scare, how should we proceed to start shopping for a mortgage?
Okay, so when you shop for a mortgage, let's first talk about the effect on your credit score. When it comes time that you want to pick a mortgage company and lock in a rate, you want to shop with multiple companies all in a couple of week period.
Sure.
And so when you get to that point with proceeding on buying the home, figure your lock-in, depending on the lender, is going to be 45, 60 days right in there typically. So that's about how far ahead you want to do your shopping.
Okay.
At that point, you thaw your credit files, probably carry all the way through your expected closing date. And okay, that way, if, let's say, things blew up with a lender and you got to get out there and scramble to find a new one, your credit's already thawed while you get through the mortgage process. And you do stand the risk that during the time period that you have your credit thawed, that 2 months, that you'd be unlucky enough that a criminal right at that moment would see a crime of opportunity and grab your information. But you'd have to be really unlucky for that to happen.
Yeah, I had heard some people say just unthaw it for like 24 or 48 hours.
Not enough time. Not enough time. Because, you know, if you're doing your part, checking with multiple lenders, the whole process is going to take longer than you anticipate. And that's why you need to leave the thaw in place for a window that may make you feel more vulnerable. But think about it. Most of your life, you have your credit frozen. And it is just a game of numbers. So that's why I'd take that risk.
Okay.
And do you know that most people buying a home only go to one lender?
Yeah, we're shopping a couple different ones at least.
Yeah, so I like for you to go, if you've ever had a loan before and you had somebody you liked who you used, go back to him or her. If you've ever used a mortgage banker or mortgage broker, or it would be something good to do this time if you're a member of a credit union, go to them. If you're a USAA insured, go to them. In other words, check multiple places, because then you can put them in competition with each other too. You know, I love competition. Gail is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Gail.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thank you, Gail. What's going on?
Well, I got a check in the mail, and I usually understand what they're for. This time I don't understand what this is for, and I was calling to find out if I should throw it away or put it in my checking account. It's a class action suit, and it's a refund check from the Federal Trade Commission. And it's only for $13, but I don't want to put it in my account and give access to the world to come rob me.
Right, right. I understand. What organization was it the FTC was sending you money for?
It was called Fortune High Tech Marketing.
Okay, that was what the FTC labeled a pyramid scheme. And so the operators have been banned. And the FTC ordered the payment of the restitution, and there were more than 250,000 people receiving the restitution, and this is legit real money.
Okay.
So did you ever have any involvement with Fortune High Tech Marketing?
Well, what's funny is when I first got the check, I had no idea what it was. But like the next day, I thought, wait a second, I did. I met some people on a cruise and they told me about this and I did get involved with it, but it was such a short amount of time. And I don't remember how much I spent to get involved. I mean, it wasn't a huge amount of money or anything, but it was some kind of thing where you, instead of like going to Amazon and ordering through Amazon, you would go through their website and order whatever through their website, and you earned money back that way. So if you could get everybody to go through your website with Fortune High Tech Marketing, then you would earn money.
But it didn't work out.
Well, it didn't work out for me. You know, I couldn't get anybody involved, and I just kind of gave up on it.
Yeah, well, the feds, the determination the feds made was that it was not going to work out, that it was actually a pyramid.
Right.
And that's why you're getting the money perfectly legit for you to cash that check. It is yours. And I don't know, it's not enough money for you to go book another cruise, though.
No.
It's enough for you to buy one cocktail on one cruise.
On one cruise. I had been listening to you on the radio driving home from work, and you were talking about cruises, and I'm like, that's a great idea. So I went home, booked a cruise, and my daughter and I went on a cruise.
I love that. Oh, that's neat.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at Progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Ask Clark. That's where you post a question for me at Clark.com. Producer Joel asks your question for you.
Yeah, Clark, Jill wants to know, should we assume that the Equifax breach also included the theft of our Equifax credit freeze PINs, and is there a way to change our PINs?
Wonderful question, and this has been something very worrying to people. So Equifax says that your PINs were not compromised. That's your secret code that each credit bureau issues you that's unique to that bureau when you lock down your credit with a freeze. But Equifax has also been red-faced because it turns out they were using a PIN generation system that was so unsophisticated that an elementary school kid could figure out how to break in to your frozen credit. So Equifax has a procedure where you can change your PIN code. We have a video and an article at Clark.com that walks you through how to change your Equifax PIN.
All right, Debbie wants to know, I'm curious to know if it's a waste of money to purchase a cancer-specific policy from my employer.
So single illness insurance policies, I'm not excited by. They're not a scam. But my thinking is that if you are ill, it doesn't really matter what caused the illness. And what I prefer is to make sure that if your employer offers disability insurance, both short and long term, that to me is a higher priority than having a narrow type of coverage like cancer insurance. Again, it's not a scam. I just don't think it does enough to make it worth you buying. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. I appreciate you tuning in to The Clark Howard Show. And if you'd like more fun stuff to listen to by podcast, well, we have our Empowerment Zone. This is where you get to hear the stories of people that have done amazing things, either in overcoming hardship in their lives or things they've done to accomplish. Go to clark.com/empowermentzone.